This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session was first published back in the month of June of the year 2017, and it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scriptures, there's two of them. The first one is in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. And the second scripture is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Now, if you have these scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. The first scripture says, the Apostle Paul is speaking. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And the second scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, when I left off last month, I was explaining a passage of scripture which was explaining how a person doing all the right things in the eyes of man and God, yet being unsaved, was no better off than a completely evil person. Just for the record, the scripture was found in Romans chapter number 2, starting at verse number 13, where it says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Verse 14 says, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Verse number 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Now, that the scripture uses the word Gentiles, which is another way of referring to a person who is not of the family of God. If a person is not of the family of God, meaning they're not saved, then no matter how good they are in the end, they will suffer the same fate as one who is the most evil among us. So what makes the difference? The Lordship of Jesus Christ. When a person comes to Christ, that person is making a change in status in the eyes of God. They are becoming a new person, a baby, if you will, in Christ, as found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, where it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a," get this, "a new creature," or baby. "Old things," the carnal mindedness and things, "are passed away, and behold, all things are new." After this happens, then it is up to Christ to begin the process of educating this newborn baby into becoming someone that is mature enough in him to become a carbon copy of him, if you will, that can go forth and accomplish the mission that Christ has set before them. And what is that mission? To bring mankind back to God through Jesus Christ, and to tear down all the works of the devil that stand in the way of doing that. The entity that is responsible for doing that is the church. And just like in the school systems, the church is supposed to provide the necessary guidance, materials, and tools to accomplish that feat. Now, when I am speaking about the church in this particular message, I am specifically talking about particular denominational organizations and local individual houses of worship that are so inept in their accomplishing this goal that for the most part they themselves are no better off than those that they are supposed to be teaching. Jesus says in St. John chapter 15, verse number 20, he says, "Remember the word I said unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord." What he is saying is that those that belong, that are being taught, led, or otherwise trained by someone, cannot become greater than the one that is training them. This means if the person, if the one that is the teacher is one that is, for instance, fully knowledgeable in all the things, then chances are those that are taught by that person stand to gain as much as he or she does, becoming equal to them. The flip side of that is, if the teacher is, for all intents and purposes, still a baby in Christ themselves, then those that are taught by them will not advance above the level of that person, as long as they stay under that person's teaching and leadership. The above examples cover both ends of the spectrum, and all churches fall somewhere within that spectrum. However, there is another chink in the educational side of the body of Christ, and it is one that many don't even think about, and that is there are some churches, denominations, and individuals who are fully mature in the things of God, but choose not to educate those under them to a certain level so that they can keep them, if you will, under their control. Once again, the education of the saints is key so that they can be the mature men and women that God wants them to be. We are at war with an enemy that uses all sorts of tactics, tricks, and deceptions to, as the Bible tells it in St. John chapter 10, verse number 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Well, what is the only thing that is here to stop him? The mature warrior, man or woman of God, utilizing the power of the Holy Spirit to destroy the works of the devil or the enemy. If you wonder why the world is in the mess it is in today, why our cities in this nation are full of crime and despair, and people are living in a state of perpetual fear, it is because of a lack of men and women that know their God and are able to do things that put the enemy to flight. In the book of Daniel, chapter number 11, verse number 32 says this. He said, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But get this part. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Exploits is another term for miraculous things or things that have never been done before, new things and stuff like that. And but the thing is, why is this the case? It is churches that are being led by people who, in the carnal sense, may have all sorts of degrees in religious studies and the like. Something that would bring high praise for their accomplishments in the carnal sense, but are essentially spiritual babies in the eyes of God. In other words, you can go to college and get all sorts of degrees in religious studies and things like that, and go to a lot of churches. And if they have an opening for a pastor or something like that, you get show them all these degrees and stuff that you have, and they probably want to hire you right off of the bat. That would be the same way as it would be in any business out in the world apart from the church. Because that's what people say. The more education you have, the better your chances are of being hired and making lots of money and so forth like that. But see, that's good for the world. When it comes to the church, it is nowhere near like that. It's basically the other way around. We'll get further into that. Now, let me see where I leave it. Now, if you think that I don't know what I'm talking about, check these things out. I know people that attend or have attended the same church for literally decades that don't even know what salvation or being born again is all about. To them, because they attend the church and may have their names on the roll, they believe that they are Christians or God's children. There are churches that I know of that have absolutely no Bible study or Sunday school teaching. The only time the doors of the church are open is for the worship services, weddings, and funerals. Occasionally, they may have some special event going on and maybe even a revival, but that turns out to be more for show than anything else. The church is full of individuals engaged in all sorts of behavior or sin that God frowns on, and this isn't even addressed. The church allows people to come in and preach in the pulpit that have absolutely no righteousness in their living. It allows people to interpret Bible scripture based on their own life experiences. By this I mean if, say for instance, a person comes in who is a known prostitute, gay, or whatever, and is a good person in the eyes of the community, the church will accept them and then completely overlook their sinful issues, thus giving them the idea that they are all right in God's eyes. This is tantamount to, in their eyes, this church putting God's seal of approval on them. Of course, the church is supposed to welcome anyone in because all of us are or were sinners, and its primary mission is to bring the sinner to Christ. However, just like kindergarten, the church is to take all these different sinful personalities and begin the process of molding them into the image of Christ so that they can become righteous. Romans chapter 3, verse number 20, starting at verse number 21, says this: But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, verse number 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. If you remember earlier, I used the term new creatures, renewing of the mind, and changing from carnal to spiritual mindedness. The only way this can happen is if the individuals are brought into the knowledge of their sinful state and that there is a need to abandon or turn away from or repent of that behavior and take on the mind of Christ. This is what needs to be, but isn't taught from day one in these churches. The sinner supposedly gives their heart to the Lord and that's it. They go through the rest of their lives feeling that that is all there is to being a Christian. If that was the case, then there would be no need for scriptures that tell us that we are to prepare for warfare against our enemy, the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds." These scriptures let us know that the church is in an ongoing battle against the forces of evil, and we need spiritually mature individuals to engage and defeat the enemy. And you can't have that if all you have is spiritual babies in kindergarten churches sitting around being fed the feel-good milk of the word and not the meat. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 2 says this, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby." All babies start out on milk because they can't handle anything else. But as they grow, there comes a time when they are weaned off of the milk and begin to transition to the semi-solid and then solid food. This is what the church is supposed to be doing. Remember in part one, I described how when a baby comes out into this world, they don't know who they are or who you are. You could be a friend or foe, but they don't know the difference. The church is supposed to educate them, the new converts, into just who the enemy is, so that they will know to stay away from them until they are prepared to do battle with them. As babies, not being able to recognize the enemy, there is a flip side to that as well. That is, they may not recognize a friend and actually go to battle against them. Have you ever noticed how different churches and denominations and preachers seem to be at war against each other, while at the same time claiming that they are saved? This occurs usually when one church or minister addresses some activity as sin, while the other church passes it off as nothing to be concerned about. Therefore, those that have been educated under that teaching view anything going against what they have been taught as an attack on them, and as such they are ready to fight against what may very well be Christ himself. Acts chapter 5, starting at verse number 38. It says, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught." But look at what it says in verse number 49. "But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God." The thing is, unless you have a sound Bible teaching through study of the Word, you won't know how to identify who is a friend or foe. You would be surprised at how many so-called saints are actually engaged in open warfare, not against a person or church organization, but against Christ himself. I would dare say that over 80% of Christians are actually fighting against Christ because they support people and organizations that God hates, while at the same time rejecting any message or individuals that reveal this fact to them. They would instead attack those individuals in much the same way the children of Israel attacked Moses and Jacob and the prophets in the wilderness anytime they scolded the people for their sinful and foolish ways. Look at what God had to say about this. In 1 Samuel chapter number 8, in verse number 7, it says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." When a person anointed by God delivers his message to another individual, and that person rejects what they are being told, they are effectively rejecting Christ's lordship over them and their lives. All of this is because their churches either are not capable of doing the necessary things to bring them into maturity, or are deliberately holding them down for some devilish reason. Hopefully, I will finish this message next month. Well, that's the end of this part of our message. This is part number 2 of a 3-part message. And like I say, I'll withhold comment until we get through to the end of part number 3. So until then, let me just say may God bless you and your families real good. Until we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.